I'm so blown away anytime worship team, prayer, and sermon comes together because I didn't talk to any of them, and somehow it all flowed. Not somehow. I mean, we know how it flowed. But it's just so cool to me, and it's such a testament of God being present here with us. These past couple of weeks, we've been going through the book of Romans. We've been going through our series, The Road to Romans, and I get the privilege of finishing that up. And the book of Romans is one of my favorites in the Bible because Paul just kind of lays it all down. I love Paul because he's just straight to the point, and I'm a straight to the point type of person. And last week, Mike talked about being a living sacrifice, about living grace, and the marks of a true Christian. And a lot of that is inward focus. A lot of that is what God does in you. And this week, to finish up, we're going to look at how we, in turn, take that and spread it out into the world. So this week, we're going to be in Romans 14. And the beginning of chapter 14 starts off with Paul urging two groups to be accepting of each other. In your Bible, the chapter may be entitled The Weak and the Strong, or The Weak versus the Strong, or something along those lines. And Paul is telling the Roman church to set their differences aside and be united in Christ. One thing I want to make apparent before we go any further is that this talk of weak versus strong is not about, like, if you have any convictions, that doesn't make you weak, or you're not stronger or weaker than another person. What Paul is specifically talking about is faith, those who have weak faith and those who have a strong faith. In the youth group, I make the kids get their Bibles out. There's Bibles underneath the chairs. I won't make you do that. I strongly encourage it, though. We're going to be in Romans 14, and we're starting at verse 7. It'll be up on the screen. That's why I'm not going to make you get Bibles out. It says, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." This is such an interesting passage to me because Paul isn't talking about people outside of the church. He's not telling the people outside of the church, be united, because that doesn't make sense. He's telling the people inside of his church, the congregation, to be united under Christ. Now, when I first read that in high school, I thought that was weird. Because why wouldn't the congregation be united? Why would there be any differences? Any things to fight about? And then I went to college in the South. And church in the South is a lot different from church up here. Here, we sit rows away from each other. There's a lot of space required, which is weird to me because we are not mobile. We just kind of stay in one spot. Church in the South is not like that. We're packed like sardines, and there's a lot of moving and stomping involved. It was super weird to me when I first went. I was like, this is culture shock. I felt like I was in another country. It's just different. The biggest one is how people dress, though. Here, we're pretty relaxed. You're not down there, and it's so hot. It's so hot in the South, and people wear the nicest clothing, and you can, like, see their sweat, but they do it for God. I'm just like, you guys are wild because you're sweating like crazy. It was wild. So when I first started my classes, there was a lot of differences because you have a whole lot of people from different denominations coming together, and there was a really big difference between me and this guy named BT. When I first went to college, some of you might remember, I had dreadlocks that went down to my waist. And I had a lot of facial piercings. I've calmed down a lot since my teens. But I was like the odd one out. And there's this kid named BT who looked like a golfer that lived on a yacht. Like, that's how he dressed. Like, he wore the tied around sweater thing and like buttoned up shirts all the time. I never saw the kid wear a sweatshirt in 4 years. He never wore a sweatshirt or anything casual ever. It was so weird. And we just naturally clashed. Just kind of anything I would say, he would have to contradict. And I just was like, why do you talk? You know, like, it was that weird. In classes, we would just clash heads. And it wasn't until I took a class on the book of Romans that I realized my fault, and I was super convicted in that relationship. I was living for myself. I was focusing on myself and the things that BT would say to contradict me, and I took personal offense to that. But see, I should be living for Christ. I belong to Christ. And that is how we should be behaving. This doesn't give people a pass to just be a jerk to you, right? Because sometimes people are just rude. But we should still respond with love, right? Sometimes we have to put our differences aside for Christ's sake. And sometimes we have to be uncomfortable in our personal lives to be the living sacrifice and to be the humble servant. Because as verse 12 says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. It means that we're accountable for our own actions. And that's just one example. But there's another one that directly applies to our church. One of our Wesleyan principles, if you didn't know that we're a Wesleyan church, we're a Wesleyan church. One of our principles is no gambling. And some people take that very literally to the point where they don't even want to play cards because it may appear as gambling to other people. And it's our job to respect that, right? It's our job that if somebody in our congregation or somebody we know does not want to play cards, we need to respect that and not make them feel bad about themselves. But it's also the job of the other person to respect somebody that may just want to play Go Fish. You know, sometimes you just get a hankering to play Go Fish. Some people have an issue with dancing. And realistically, when we talk about these things, like, oh, some people have an issue with playing cards or with watching TV or dancing, it sounds ridiculous, but there are literal church splits about that kind of stuff. Do you guys realize that? Like, we need to be respectful towards each other. It then goes on in Romans 14, verses 17 through 18, and says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. These minor things are really not of importance. How someone dresses, how they physically look, what card games they play, all of those are minor things. That's not a salvation issue, and we should be able to put our differences aside and come together and still unite. We are united under the name of Christ, and that goes to our brothers and sisters in other denominations as well. We are united because we're all tasked with the same mission, to go out and make disciples. We can't make disciples if we are living as if we are part of this world. That means we have to be setting the example to others. We have to live in a way and have an attitude that others look at and go, I want that. I want what they have. One of the coolest examples I can think of for that is the Super Bowl. And I do not care about football at all. The only reason I even watched the Super Bowl is because I wanted to see the Patriots get beat, because Tom Brady bugs me because he eats avocado ice cream. That's weird. I don't know why that bugs me as much as it does, but it bugs me that somebody eats avocado ice cream. Thank you. So the Super Bowl was really cool because the Eagles won. That was one cool thing. I was like, thank you, God. I don't have to see Tom Brady's face again. But the speeches at the end are what gave me chills. I was watching their speeches at the end, and it brought tears to my eyes, and my parents were like, why are you crying? But all of their speeches at the end gave thanks to God and pointed the glory back to him. All of them that were interviewed, the entire team, I was like, my mind was blown. I've never seen a football team do that, especially on that level before. Their head coach, Doug Peterson, said, "I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity," which is cool because he said Christ by name, which most football players are like, "Oh, I give glory to God." And you're like, which God? That could be anything. He literally said, "My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Nick Foles and Brandon Graham both gave thanks to God as well. And I think the most interesting comment came from the Eagles tight end, who said, "Glory to God first and foremost. Our number one goal is to make disciples." How cool is that? That a football player on that level, with as many cameras that were on him, said that their number one goal is to go out and make disciples. The underdog football team had an opportunity in that win to talk about how, through their hard work and dedication, they managed to make it through. But instead, they pointed it all back to God. It's cool. That's why I cried. That team came together with one voice to give glory to God. And in that, they're being pointed. They're being direct with their communication. Like, you can't misinterpret that at all. Paul later says in chapter 15, "Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." That was verses 17 and 18. I love these verses because Paul is setting the bar. He's not even intentionally doing it because he's talking about his ministry. That entire passage is him talking about his ministry. But how wonderful would it be for everything that comes out of your mouth to be boastings about Christ? How cool would it be to only speak about the accomplishments that Christ has done through you? Are accomplished in you. I had a friend tell me once to take the time to write down my entire testimony, even if I saw works that God had done before I became a Christian. Just take the time to write it all down. The lows, the highs, the times where I felt like God wasn't there. And I encourage all of you to do that as well. It takes a lot of time. I'm not very old. And it took me like a week probably. So some of you may have some longer time. You might have to take some time. I'm not saying you're old. You just might have to take some time. Because oftentimes, when we get caught up in the things around us, in the worldly things, we lose focus. And we can even get to the point where we wonder where God is. Have you noticed that when you start to lose focus and when you're so caught up in the stress, maybe from your work or for something else, and you're not spending time with God, you start to wonder where he is, which is such a weird thing. Why do we do that? Having it written down in front of you helps you keep your priorities straight. You see where God is. And it helps you to remember what being a humble servant is. Because when all of your mess ups are written down in front of you, but you can look at it and say, "Wow, God brought me through this, this, or this," it's humbling. Because you realize that really you can't do a whole lot without him. We're gonna skip over to chapter 16 and we're gonna stay there. In Romans 16, Paul finishes his letter. And you'll notice that most of it is just names, which I think is really cool because all of those people who are recorded there are living their life as sacrifices. They're out there living the calling. And how cool would it be to have your name recorded down? Not that that can happen because we're not writing a new Bible. But just in perspective, how cool would that be? That 2,000 years later, people could be reading your name. Anyways, Paul gives some ending words, and we're going to focus on verses 17 through 20. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Then the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now, if I was talking to my youth kids, I would say that this is about peer pressure, and I would advise them to stay away from those that peer pressure you. Some of you don't have kids that are in school now, but they're facing a lot of crazy things. My youth group is primarily middle school kids, and they're telling me that kids are vaping. Like, they have those vape cigarettes in middle school. How crazy is that? I didn't have to think about that until I was in college, which is only 5 years ago, but that is insane that kids that are 12, 13, 14 are facing that kind of stuff. How crazy is it that we have high schoolers that are going to church, that are going to schools with guns? The kids these days are facing insane things. And I would say that this passage is a lot about peer pressure. So stay away from those who will pressure you into doing dishonorable things or things that will result in parents getting a phone call. Right? As an adult, I still think about that. I'm like, okay, if I do this, would my parents be disappointed in me knowing about this? That puts things into perspective. Even as an adult, you think about those things. We need to be aware of our actions and think about the message we are sending to those around us. Why would that be important? Look at our surroundings. Look at what is going on in our society. Again, this goes back to setting the example for those around you that are non-believers. You are the measuring stick. What I mean by that is that non-believers look at you and your life and they think about what you're doing. So if you're not living a life worthy of Christ's name, people look at that and go, they're no different from me. Why would I want that? That's kind of scary, huh? Now, obviously, we're still human and we're still going to make mistakes and we're still going to mess up. So it's not a call to never mess up because that won't happen. But it is a call to be the example. It's a call to remind yourself that you are the measuring stick. Do people see Christ when they look at you? Do people want what you have? If you feel convicted by that, then good. That's not a bad thing. Good. Run to God. Repent. Ask for guidance. Talk to your pastor. Whatever you have to do so that you can be on the right path and start living that life that's worthy of Christ's call. Cling to what is good and be innocent about what is evil, because the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Let's cling to that today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, it's not easy living in this day. We know it's never been easy for your people. We ask that you would forgive us for our shortcomings and that you would continue to mold us into the image of your Son so that we may be more like him. I pray that you would guide us as we live in this world, and that we would submit, and that we would find peace in you, and that we could be a light to those around us because you set us apart. You've called us out of our comfort and into the lives of those around us so that they may know who you are and be in relationship with you. Give us a chance to share our faith this week. Give us a chance to show others what it means to be a living sacrifice. We love you so much, God. Thank you for meeting us here in this time. We pray this all in your name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You are dismissed.